I'm Marty Moscowen. Welcome to Radio Times. The debate over redistricting is heating up in Pennsylvania with the release of the 2020 census data. Pennsylvania, with 13 million people, will lose one of its 18 congressional seats because of its slow growth compared to states in the West and South. Pennsylvania is also notorious for some contorted-looking congressional and legislative districts. There's been a concerted effort in recent years to end partisan gerrymandering that has produced those weirdly drawn maps. This year, the Republican-controlled General Assembly has pledged more transparency and public input in drawing district lines, including hearings and new websites. But will these steps lead to fairer and more representative maps? This hour, we talk about the redistricting process, what's at stake, and the problem of prison gerrymandering. Coming up, we'll be joined by Republican State Representative Wendy Thomas and Democratic State Representative Joanna McClinton, both involved in redistricting. But joining us now and staying with us for the full hour is Carol Cunningham. She's chair of Fair Districts PA. That's a nonpartisan statewide coalition of organizations and individuals working to create a process for redistricting that is transparent and impartial and fair. And Carol, nice to have you back with us on Radio Times.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. And to our listeners, I want to make sure our listeners can join us during this hour. You can send us an email, radiotimes@whyy.org. You can tweet us at WHYY Radio Times, and you can always call us at 1-888-477-9499. Carol, let me begin with the census numbers. As you look at those numbers, what jumps out at you?
One thing that jumps out at me is the shift of population from north and central and western parts of PA very much towards the south and east. And the fact that that's pretty substantial. I mean, when I look at it, it looks like the Philly metro area probably should be picking up another senator, probably three more House representatives, and the Lehigh Valley and the area around Dauphin and Lancaster County also look like they're picking up substantial numbers of people.
Which means there's going to be a lot of work to be done to create these fair districts, correct?
Yeah. I mean, one of the things we're saying to the Legislative Reapportionment Commission, that's the group that will be drawing state house and Senate maps, is start with a clean map. We've seen in the past when there are population shifts, the attempt to keep the same legislators in the same districts and keep those districts safe while population shifts. And that is in part how we end up with the very strange shapes that we have for our maps. So to really have fair maps that represent communities, we're saying that they need to start over. There's no way they can do it given the population shifts.
So a clean slate, meaning just a blank piece of paper?
Well, a blank map. So instead of saying, well, we've got to keep all of these legislators in their districts, when when the districts, when the population has shifted so dramatically, that really doesn't make sense. And so what we've seen in the past is then the legislators are choosing the winners and the losers. They're saying, well, we don't really like this person, so we'll just take this district and move it over here. And these two we don't like so much, so we'll put those two in the same district. So they're really controlling the outcomes by starting with the existing map and then drawing it in a way that favors or disfavors specific legislators. We think that's really inappropriate. And we're saying, you know, you can draw a really nice map that represents communities well if you just start fresh.
I said in my introduction that the Republican-controlled General Assembly is at least on paper and has taken some steps to be more transparent, to be more open to public input. Does that give you some degree of confidence that we can at least begin to address this issue of gerrymandering?
Well, so it's important to remember there's two different processes at work. And so the House and Senate state government committees, they're the ones who draw the congressional map. Right. And they are talking about transparency. It's interesting to note that the Senate had one regional hearing and didn't even publicize how people could sign up to speak at that hearing. The House has 8 regional hearings. All of them are in districts that are represented by Republicans. So, for instance, in Allegheny County, rather than have their hearing in Pittsburgh, it's an hour away from Pittsburgh in a Republican led district. So that doesn't give us a lot of hope for a nonpartisan process. What does give us hope for the congressional map is that that's done as a bill, and then the governor can sign or veto it. And the fact that there is that check and balance this time around that was not in place the last three redistricting processes is a hopeful thing, that the governor is not going to sign off on a map that gives advantage to the other party, and the other party is not going to draw a map that gives advantage to the governor's party. So we think that reality is a good safeguard to have fair maps at the congressional level.
And I will pick up on that when Wendy Thomas joins our conversation, obviously talking about Congress. And this happens every 10 years. And so every 10 years, Carol, we have to, you know, get a primer from you about sort of how this process works, this process of drawing maps either for the legislature or for Congress. But what are some of the sort of driving central ideas to create a neutral and fair map? What does it have to include or exclude?
Well, one thing it should exclude is the high priority of giving advantage to incumbents and giving advantage to the party that draws the maps. We just completed a mapping competition where we invited citizens to draw state House and Senate maps, and we gave them less than 3 weeks between when we announced the contest and when they submitted it. And all of them were less biased than the current state House and Senate maps, which are among the most biased in the country. So we would say number one is draw a map with less bias for one particular party, and draw a map that is less focused on keeping incumbents in place and more focused on representing communities. So if you look at our current House and Senate maps, you can see these very strange shapes. And when you start trying to understand it, you say, oh, here's a legislator whose district has been shifting in demographics. So to keep that legislator here, they keep reaching further and further to find constituents that would support that person and that party. And what you end up is people feeling completely unrepresented because their districts are so strange. My personal school district is divided, Downingtown School District in Chester County, is divided into five House districts. And that was done as districts shifted and legislators said, oh, I want that neighborhood, I want that neighborhood. These people will vote for me. And the party drawing the maps was trying to keep control of an increasingly purple area. They needed to be more and more creative in drawing those district maps. So the impact on voters is it's really hard to know who your legislator is. It's really hard for new folks to campaign. It's hard to hold candidate forums when one school district is divided into five House districts. So our argument is, you know, keep communities whole, don't prioritize incumbents, and look at metrics like compactness and low bias. So there's a number of different things that go into it. And the more sophisticated voters are and what they ask for, the more likely we are to get maps that really do represent us.
We're talking about maps on the radio, which is a tricky thing, but obviously we're talking about maps that really matter when it comes to elections. I'm actually looking at Senate District 48. I believe, Carol, you live in that district. Hard to describe what this map looks like, but it's all over the place.
Yeah, I don't live in Senate 48, but that's certainly one that we have paid a lot of attention to. That is, it used to be Lebanon County and reach into the regions closest to it that were most like it, into parts of Burke and north into, I believe it was Susquehanna County. Instead, now it cuts off the lower part of Dauphin County and then crosses the Susquehanna River in a place where there are no bridges, and then takes the top quarter of York County. And it's really done in a way that Lebanon County is just over 50% of that district, and that's a rural conservative area. The part of Dauphin County it captures is a much more diverse, more cosmopolitan area. And then the part of York, there's a large minority community there. And they say they've never actually seen their state senator come into their part. And the reality is the senator of that district doesn't need to think about Dauphin or York at all. As long as their party in Lebanon County likes them, that's all they have to think about. And they can ignore the rest of the district completely.
And just to pick up on what you're saying, and again, we're talking about what is a fair map and also what the criteria are, compactness and contiguousness, also that you can't or shouldn't divide a county, a city, a township, a borough, or a ward, correct? That those need to stay intact.
Right. And if you look at our current maps, there are many precincts that are divided, which makes election administration really difficult. I actually worked a precinct in Phoenixville that is divided in two. And the last, I don't know how many elections, they give out ballots to the wrong people and discover that, oh, wait, yes, we have two different ballots. How do we have two different lines? Voters are so confused. Why are there two different ballots in the same precinct? It's because the precinct is divided between two different House districts. So there are far, far more splits than mathematically necessary all across the state. And it confuses voters and demoralizes civic engagement.
If you had your way, then how would this process work?
The way this process would work is there would be public input on what matters. And ideally, we were advocating for an independent citizens commission, which a number of states have put in place, which is regular folks from across the political spectrum who have no stake in the game. They're not trying to keep their own seats or keep their own party in power. A commission of regular citizens would hold public hearings and draw maps in the public view that people could say, oh, no, don't put that line here because, you know, there's the Schuylkill River. Why would you draw this district across the river right there? The public could have a voice and offer feedback as the maps were being finished and offer feedback before they are adopted. That would be ideal. Our state legislature the bills we supported had more co-sponsors than any others in several sessions, but they were never given a vote in the format that they were drafted. So that would be ideal. Right now, what we're saying is start with a fresh map for House and Senate districts, invite public response and comment. When you have a preliminary map, let voters see it. Let us do analytics on it. Let us make suggestions. And once you've had that input, then finalize it. But don't push it through fast without public comment.
I was reading before going on the air to you, Carol, on a new Franklin and Marshall poll. 63% of registered voters believe state redistricting practices need to be reformed. 65% support an independent commission to redraw state legislative districts. We're almost up on a break here, but there is public support for this.
There has been public support across years. We had a Franklin and Marshall survey in 2019 that said the exact same thing. Across the political spectrum, Democrats, Independents, Republicans, more than 60% in each group said that there should be an independent commission, legislators should not be drawing lines, and that the current process lets party leaders put party interests over voters' interests and creates polarization and gridlock.
Well, we're going to take that short break. Carol Cunningham staying with us. She is chair of Fair Districts PA. And we'll be joined by two representatives from the Pennsylvania legislature, Joanna McClinton and Wendy Thomas. And we want to hear from you. We are talking about the fact that it is redistricting time here in Pennsylvania with the new census numbers. It's happening in other states across the country, all the states across the country as well. Happens every 10 years. You can join us. Send us an email, radiotimes@whyy.org. We want your ideas and input and questions. You can tweet us at WHYY Radio Times, and you can call us 1-888-477-9499. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Supporting WHYY, Penn Medicine, helping to find new cures for cancer. With life-saving clinical trials and advanced surgical techniques, Penn Medicine is offering more hope for patients everywhere. Learn more at pennmedicine.org/cancer. Penn Medicine, what's next?
This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moscow-Wayne with the new census numbers in. The process of redistricting in Pennsylvania has begun. It happens every 10 years. Carol Cunningham staying with us for the hour. She is chair of Fair Districts PA. Joining us now are two members of the Pennsylvania legislature involved with the process of redrawing congressional and legislative districts to reflect population changes. Joanna McClinton is Democratic State Representative of the 191st District. That includes Delaware and Philadelphia counties. She is House Democratic Leader, serves on the Legislative Reapportionment Commission. Today is her birthday. Happy birthday, Joanna McClinton. Nice to have you back with us on Radio Times.
Thank you so very much. There's nothing I would rather be talking about than this pivotal moment in time we have in Pennsylvania.
On your birthday.
Thank you for having me.
You're very welcome. Sure. Wendy Thomas with us as well. She's a Republican state representative of the 178th district serving parts of Bucks County. She introduced a bill that called for more transparency in the redistricting process. And Wendy Thomas, nice to have you with us on Radio Times as well.
Thank you, and happy birthday, Lederman.
And happy belated to you, Wendy. It was this Monday. I'm telling the world.
Oh, there we go. Okay. All birthday greetings taken care of. Joanne McClinton, let me begin with you. You sit on this Legislative Reapportionment Commission, two Democrats, two Republicans. It's chaired by a gentleman named Mark Nordenberg. What is your charge?
So the charge that we have is very clear. The work that organizations like Fair District and so many others, One Pennsylvania, have been doing, these are nonpartisan groups that are all saying the same thing, and that is voters should be able to choose who their voice is in Harrisburg, not the other way around. And it's been like that for too many decades in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. You do not have to be an expert in mapping to take one look at our legislative district and know we have partisan gerrymandering, and the Republicans have done it again and again. So I'm thrilled to be at the table this time. There's never been a woman to do it. I'm excited to join Leader Kim Ward from the Republican Senate Caucus so that we can not only do this, but do it in a way that is, in fact, just carving out the districts clearly, fairly, not splitting up small municipalities and townships, because those are the things that have, unfortunately, favored one party over another and taken away the opportunity for folks to really have representation.
You're saying that this will end gerrymandering in Pennsylvania?
I am saying that that is definitely what my caucus has as a priority, and that is what the charge has been for me to be sitting at that table.
I will get back to that, and I also want to get Carol Cunningham back in on the conversation. But to you, Wendy Thomas, you call for more transparency in the redistricting process, and this having to do with congressional districts. What kind of response did you get?
I'm pleased to say we're making progress. I know Carol very well in Fair Districts and have been working with them. And I know the ideal was an independent commission, but the system that has been set up this year is more transparent and taking in more public input than has ever happened. So I'm very pleased that we're moving along. I would still like to get my legislation passed, of course, and codify it, but the hearings that are being held around the state, as well as a very user-friendly website that is taking input from anyone and everyone, are definitely steps in the right direction.
First of all, what is the website so that people can go there and see for themselves?
Sure. It's paredistricting.com.
And in terms of having public hearings, are these in public or are they online? How would someone attend one of those?
They can attend. They can sign up to testify or to give comments, and they'll be given 10 minutes to comment. They will not be grilled with questions. They do not have to be concerned about that. They can simply get up and give their perspective of their community and what should be important as they draw the congressional lines. They're held all over the state. I know Leader McClinton and I, and probably most of your listeners, we're in the Southeast, and there is one in Quakertown and one in Philadelphia. And those dates are and places are also online, but they're September 21st and 22nd.
Will they be live streamed so that if you can't be there, you can at least listen and watch?
I know they're recorded. I apologize, but I don't know the answer if they're going to be live as they're happening. But they have two hearings already, and they're both on the website so that you could go back and listen.
Carol, let me get you back into the conversation. We've heard from Representative Joanna McClinton, Representative Wendy Thomas. We're talking about legislative districts. We're talking about congressional districts. What's your overall response?
Well, I agree with Representative Thomas that having more hearings is a really important thing. Having websites where people can submit comment is really important. And that's the case now for both the congressional and for the legislative. The Legislative Reapportionment Commission also has a robust website, far better than last time, where people can submit testimony. And on that website, the testimony immediately becomes visible. So people can actually see what other people have said, which is a really good thing. So that's encouraging. Will that testimony be translated into maps? That's always the question. Who's really drawing the maps, and will the public know who drew the maps and what the priorities were as maps were drawn, we will be asking to have that information be made clear what the priorities are and who is really drawing the maps. But yes, it's great to have hearings and it's great to have those websites.
Well, let me go back to you then, Joanna McClinton. So after the hearings are done, you get all your input. Who ends up drawing the maps?
So as it relates to the state legislative maps, that is what the leaders have been charged to do, to be able to work with our folks. We have legislative council, we have representation, and we have also had public testimony all summer through virtual hearings with the Legislative Reapportionment Commission.
So it will go, just make sure that all of us understand. So it goes back to the legislature. I mean, who specifically will draw the maps?
So I don't have an answer to who specifically is drawing the maps. This is the first time that we are doing it in a more transparent way and that we're even seeking public submissions of maps. They are still being taken on the Pennsylvania Legislative Reapportionment Commission website. So I understand that the first thing we have is next week a hearing where we're going to be talking about prison gerrymandering, and that'll be held on Tuesday, the 24th of August.
Well, let me pick up on that because I know that's an issue that you care deeply about. When you talk about prison gerrymandering, what does that refer to?
So prison gerrymandering is the practice of counting people who are in state prison in the rural communities with which they are currently incarcerated. With the exception of people serving life terms, everyone has an expected parole date, and most of the people who are currently incarcerated in state prisons are in rural communities, not where they are from or where they live. And people who are in communities like mine, densely populated areas, we spend lots of resources with constituent services to take on cases for these individuals to make sure that they are getting different health care and things of that nature from the Department of Corrections. And why do we do that? Because they're from our districts, they live in our districts, their family live in our districts, but they are not counted in our districts. They're counted in rural Pennsylvania, where they do not have representation, where they cannot vote for anyone, where they also are not receiving any sort of services.
Let me get Carol Cunningham just to respond to that. Carol, go ahead.
Yeah, so I'm excited to hear that that will be a topic of conversation on Tuesday. We have been asking to have that addressed. We believe that the Legislative Reapportionment Commission has the legal authority and the moral obligation to address this issue. We know that the current practice, the census counts incarcerated persons where they're incarcerated, that actually contradicts Pennsylvania election code, which says that incarcerated people cannot register to vote in the places where they're incarcerated. And the truth is, many of those people can vote if they're not there for a felony, or many are there for parole violations. A huge percentage of our folks incarcerated could actually vote, but they are not allowed to register to vote where they're incarcerated. And so they should be counted where they are allowed to vote, which is in their home communities.
Let me just reintroduce all three of you. That's Carol Cunningham. She's chair of Fair Districts PA. That's a nonpartisan statewide coalition of organizations and people working to create a process for redistricting that is transparent, impartial, and fair. Joanna McClinton is a Democratic state representative of the 191st district in Pennsylvania. That includes Delaware and Philadelphia counties. Also House Democratic leader. She serves on the Legislative Reapportionment Commission. And Wendy Thomas, Republican state representative of the 178th district, serving parts of Bucks County, and she introduced a bill that called for more transparency in the redistricting process. And again, we want to hear from you. Send us an email, radiotimes@whyy.org. You're going to tweet us, or you can tweet us at WHYY. I'm not threatening anybody. You can tweet us at WHYY Radio Times, and you can call us at 1-888-477-9499. Wendy Thomas, let me go back to you. Pennsylvania is going to lose one congressional seat. While our population grew, it didn't grow as fast as some of the more southern and western states. How will that impact the congressional redistricting process?
Well, the process is going to have to basically redraw the maps. We currently have 18. As it turns out, we have 9 Republicans and 9 Democrats. And, you know, just like we have a senator, 1 Republican and 1 Democrat right now. So this, you know, the state has been very 50-50. But when you go from 18 to 17, it's certainly going to change things. And ideally, we would look at the whole state and with the new information, create the new maps. And that's why it's particularly important this year to hear from the public. 10 years ago, maps were drawn without public input, you know, quote unquote, behind closed doors. And in some, you know, and then they went to the Supreme Court and they were redrawn behind closed doors, more or less. So, you know, for me, this is about making sure the public is heard. And it's about the opportunity to say, I view this as my community, even though if you looked at a map, you might see a natural break on XYZ Street. But actually, we, you know, I heard Carol's point earlier, we all go to school together. So we are actually one community, so we need to stay together. And I do want to add one thing for your listeners. The website that I gave, there is also a resource tab on that where they can link to the other redistricting council that Leader McClinton is on. So if they go to PA Redistricting, they can actually find the link for the Legislative Redistricting Committee, too.
Jeffrey has asked a question, and Carol, I'll toss it first to you. Why not dump all the data into a computer and let it draw fair districts, then have an independent council tweak it? What do you think of that?
Well, we actually had a mapping conversation last night where we had an expert who does that. He throws the data into an algorithm, and the algorithm spits out maps. One issue is that you've got to decide how you're prioritizing criteria before you set the algorithms, and who is going to do that. That's a really important question. But the other thing is as Representative Thomas just said, people need to be looking at maps and saying, this is where our communities are. These are the boundaries. And we see maps where parts of college dormitories are cut in half. A computer is not necessarily going to see that. We have districts of all kinds where they cross ridges and there's no way to get from one side of the ridge to the other without driving through two other districts. So those are the kinds of things that people who know their communities need to be part of. And we believe that having humans do this with really clear, really transparent priorities, and then having public input as maps are finalized is really essential. So I would just say having hearings before preliminary maps is important. Having hearings after preliminary maps is even more important. Mm. So for the committees that are drawing the congressional map, for the commission drawing the House and Senate maps, it's really important that there be time where they say, this is what we're proposing. We want to hear from the public. Does this work for you? Does it work for your community? How could we make this better? And certainly not all of that will be able to be incorporated. There's always trade-offs, but there needs to be at least a chance for people to say, you just cut my house in half. Can we not do it that way? And there are houses that are cut in half. It's, you know, where your kitchen is decides which district you are, which should not be the case.
Indeed. Joanna McClinton, will the commission have what Carol Cunningham just suggested, some kind of a process afterwards so that people can look at what the maps look like and decide whether they're fair or not?
That will be my caucus's goal. I know that when it was done 10 years ago, the House Democratic leader at that time voted for the maps. The Senate Democratic leader voted against the maps. So we are working in a way that is both collective and also with the efforts for more transparency and to get the feedback from the public. There's no way that there are 1 million more Democrats in this state, yet the House Democratic caucus is down 13 seats. That means we have gerrymandered maps. It doesn't mean that there are more Republicans registered to vote or voting than there are Democrats. It means that Democrats can't compete in these different areas because of the way the maps are drawn. So we are working hard not only to make sure that folks know what's going on, but that they'll also be able to say, hey, this is something brand new. If we're just looking at maps trying to make a few squiggly lines better, that is not going to be able to remedy the gerrymandering that Pennsylvania has endured for decades.
Let me ask you a follow-up question, Joanna McClinton, about the Voting Rights Act. How does that factor into this redistricting process?
So the Voting Rights Act, it plays a major role in making sure that there is not any effort to be able to pack any of people who are of similar backgrounds, similar, different race, ethnicity, that they're not put into one district and that they are then, you know, unfortunately looped in. It's something that's called packing. And we have seen that happen. And one of the wonderful things I was glad to see with the census data that was just released last week is that our Latino population in the Commonwealth is booming. We have so many more. So I'm hoping that with the new maps and with next year's election process, we'll not only see opportunities for fair competition for once, but we'll also see more representation. We only have 3 Latino members in the Pennsylvania House of Representatives. We should be seeing the opportunities to compete in northeastern Pennsylvania, in Hazleton, in places where people have had opportunities denied from them because the maps are unfair, but they also have not had the opportunity to run politically. They haven't had enough people to be able to boost and support these campaigns. So it's really an exciting moment.
Wendy Thomas, and final question to both you and to Joanna McClinton. What's the timetable then for listeners, for voters, for residents in Pennsylvania when it comes to this congressional redistricting and hearings and things like that? What do people need to know?
I'll start since you asked congressional. The last hearing is scheduled October 13th, the last public hearing. So it really goes, it starts starts August 24th in the Northwest. It ends October 13th in the South Central. But really, at any point, people can electronically submit information, comments, ideas, things that are important to them. So the hearings are important. We all hope people show up and give testimony. But if you can't make it, or if you're more comfortable, please go to the website and submit your input. We've all been working hard to make this a more public, transparent process, and we really hope that everybody will participate.
We have to leave it there. Wendy Thomas, thank you so much for joining us today on Radio Times. Thank you. And that's Republican State Representative Wendy Thomas of the 178th District. And Joanna McClinton, thank you very much for joining us on Radio Times.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Democratic State Representative of the 191st District, which includes Delaware and Philadelphia counties. Carol Cunningham staying with us for the rest of the hour. We've got a lot more to talk about when it comes to redistricting. And again, we want to hear from you. Radio Times at WHYY.org. You can tweet us at WHYY Radio Times.
Supporting WHYY, Penn Medicine, helping to find new cures for cancer. With life-saving clinical trials and advanced surgical techniques, Penn Medicine is offering more hope for patients everywhere. Learn more at PennMedicine.org/cancer. Penn Medicine, what's next?
This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moscoane. The debate over redistricting is heating up in Pennsylvania with the release of the new 2020 census data. Today we're talking about whether the time has come to end partisan gerrymandering in Pennsylvania, what more fair representative district maps might look like. And again, we want to hear from you, Radio Times at WHYY.org, and you can tweet us at WHYY Radio Times. Carol Cunningham staying with us for the rest of the hour. Carol, Dave says, if gerrymandering were abolished, wouldn't we have a lot of 51-49 districts? Wouldn't we have a lot more people who are unhappy with their legislator?
That's a really interesting question. And one of the things that we think would happen with districts that are drawn more fairly is that the legislators would need to appeal more broadly to a wider population. So if you have a safe district that's drawn to keep a legislator from one party in place, what we see is that they tend to ignore everybody, to be honest. And pretty much their loyalty is to the people who drew the map, not to their constituents. But if you drew a map where they actually have to deliver what they promise, or they can be voted out because it is drawn in such a way that voters have more say, it would moderate back to the middle. So when you look at organizations that are looking for ways to end partisan gridlock and the kind of polarization that we're seeing, all of them say that fixing gerrymandering is a really important step towards that, because the voters then have much more say. And in truth, voters agree on far more than you might think. The legislators might be very polarized, but most voters have a lot of things that they agree on. For instance, ending gerrymandering is one of those. Two-thirds of voters agree on ending gerrymandering, whereas the legislative leaders are not so eager to do that. So I think it would be have the opposite effect. It would move us back towards the center.
Why does Pennsylvania have this reputation, and perhaps just the reality? Why are we so gerrymandered, especially when it comes to legislative districts? And why this disconnect between Harrisburg and, frankly, you know, the rest of the state?
There seems to be a connect between the power of parties to control the agenda and the inability to pass legislation that most people want. And so if you look at states that don't have citizen initiative and referendum, that have two very strong parties and that are pretty heterogeneous, in other words, we're not all alike. There are states where people are mostly alike. It's not a big issue. There are states where the parties have never been particularly strong and the voters have always had more say. Those states don't have as much difficulty with this. But Pennsylvania has a very old legislature. We were one of the colonies, and we have very strong parties that have really controlled things for a long time. And both sides realize that giving voters more power would mean losing power for the parties, and they fight it pretty hard. So interestingly, in our state legislature, less than 7% of bills introduced ever get passed. Wow. The leaders hold control, and they do very little that the public wants. They look at every single bill. How would this benefit our party? How would this benefit our power? And that hurts us all.
Is the legislature too big? that I know John Baer and some others have been, you know, arguing for years that, and we're talking about, 50 Senate districts, 203 House districts. I think I have that right.
Interesting.
Does the largeness of our legislature in some way impact the kind of paralysis that's there?
I'm not sure that that's the case. And there are legislators who say, look, if you get larger districts, it makes it harder for people to actually know constituents. And already outside money has a big role. Already lobbyists have a big role. The one way that the average person can run and get elected is the fact that our districts are fairly small. So there are legislators I know who did door-to-door campaigns. They didn't have much money, but they went door-to-door and talked to people, explained who they were and what they wanted, and won. They get to Harrisburg and discover they can't get done what they wanted to get done. But I don't think the size is the problem. I think it's really the partisan power that really controls what happens in Harrisburg, what happens at the polling place. To me, that's a bigger issue. Another thing people often bring up is term limits. And again, I would have once said that would be a solution. And yet, as I talk to legislators and watch what happens in Harrisburg, I realize often the power players are partisan staff, even more than legislators and lobbyists. And if you put term limits in place, those folks are going to have even more power, which is not what we want to see happen.
But based on what you just said, do you actually see the two parties giving up the power to essentially gerrymander in Pennsylvania?
That really depends on public input. And I've had legislators from both sides say the only way things change is that the public understands, pays attention, and elects legislators who really want to do what their constituents want to see happen. And we have folks on both sides who are there for party power. And we have legislators on both sides who really do want to represent people well. And it's exciting to me to see we have quite a few newer legislators who understand that and who are running on behalf of the people in their districts. And if we can get enough of those people who want to govern in that way elected, that will make a big change. And part of that, I think, is ending gerrymandering so that those folks have a better chance.
Is there a state that you think could be a model for Pennsylvania that does it in the way that you think creates these more fair and districts and has a much more transparent process?
Colorado really interests me. We were told that there is no state that the legislature has ever passed redistricting reform. There are states where it's been passed through citizen initiative, but not by the state legislature. Colorado introduced a constitutional amendment to put an independent commission in place, voted on it in joint committee 2 weeks later, amended it, and then brought it to the floor in both House and Senate and voted it out within a month of it being introduced. And then it passed at the next ballot, over 70% vote. Mm-hmm. But Colorado has a 100% agenda fairness score when you look at the way their legislature works. Pennsylvania has a zero legislative fairness score.
Zero.
So there's a lot there that's interesting that we are looking at the way their legislature works and suggesting to our legislators that maybe they need to study some other legislatures and put some better rules in place.
So zero means they do nothing?
They have no mechanisms that allow a majority of legislators to move a bill. So you could have, we had one of the independent commission bills that we had 102 co-sponsors, which is a majority. The committee chair said, I'm not interested. Never gave it a vote. Well, and then there's a discharge petition that is supposed to be able to move a bill out. When he saw it coming, he gutted the bill and then kept it in committee. Hmm. So there's no mechanisms in our legislature that the average legislator can move a bill. We actually saw the Black Legislative Caucus take over the speaker's rostrum 2 years ago on police reform bills because there were many bills with huge public support. The committee chair just said, I'm not interested. So it's a problem. And gerrymandering won't fix it, but it will move us forward in finding ways to address it.
Warren writes, when I moved to this country 40 years ago, I was surprised they asked me to register for a certain party. My vote is private. It's none of your business, he writes. When did declaring your party ahead of time start? Because this makes gerrymandering so easy. What do you think of that?
Well, there's certainly plenty of states where you don't have to say what your party is. There are states where you can vote in either primary as an unaffiliated voter. There are states where all voters are unaffiliated. They don't keep a record of it. So there's different ways to handle parties. And Pennsylvania is one of the few states left that has closed party primaries. And that would certainly also help with gerrymandering, is if we addressed that and allowed independent voters to vote in the primary. And certainly that is part of the party control, is choosing who gets on the general election from very much the party faithful. And those people often don't reflect what's best for their constituents.
Let me just quickly reintroduce you. That's Carol Cunningham, Chair of Fair Districts PA. And we are talking about the redistricting process. It has begun because the new census numbers are in. That's how it works. It happens every 10 years. And we do want to hear from you, whether you feel as if Pennsylvania can make this shift into a more representative kind of government, where you stand on this whole issue of redistricting. Do you even understand how it works? And again, send us an email, radiotimes@whyy.org, and you can tweet us at WHYY Radio Times. Carol, earlier in the hour, Joanna McClinton talked about the fact that there are something like a million more registered Democrats in Pennsylvania than Republicans. And yet until very recently, until frankly the state Supreme Court stepped in, there were many more Republican members of Congress than there were Democrat. Now it's evenly split 9-9. Is that an example when things are so skewed like that, that there's some kind of weird gerrymandering going on?
Absolutely. So if you looked at our congressional districts before the League of Women Voters lawsuit in 2018, there was a locked in 13-5. So Republicans had drawn those maps to lock in 13 out of 18 districts, even though in most elections, Republicans cast fewer votes. And they bragged about it online. If you looked for Red Map 2010, you could see the fact that in the last two decades, as Pennsylvania was losing seats, Republicans were gaining seats through the magical art of gerrymandered districts. Mm-hmm. But what Representative McClinton was talking about was our state legislature. And in the 2018 election, we had the largest skew between votes cast and seats won in the country. And so, in other words, if you get a certain percentage of votes, you would think you would get approximately that percentage of seats. In the 2018 election, there was a 9% divide between votes cast and seats won in Pennsylvania. Our two closest competitors in this art of gerrymandering, North Carolina and Michigan, had a 6% skew. We had a 9% mm-hmm. skew between votes cast and seats won.
And by looking at a map, when you see those, just I don't even know how to describe them, the salamanders, the Mickey Mouses, and all those weird shapes, is that, if you look at a map and it looks like that, are you looking at gerrymandering?
You can be looking at gerrymandering, but looking at a map that looks more compact is not necessarily a guarantee of a less biased map. And so there's a number of different pieces that need to be really looked at closely. Part of that is because of the way people live, you know, demographically. And as Representative McClinton mentioned, minority communities often live in more densely populated areas and they live more closely together. So they can end up being packed into one district where they end up, if you have a, in Philly, there are many districts that are, you know, 95% Democrat. Democratic, whereas there are no districts in the state that I can find where you have more than about a 70-75% Republican majority. So what that means is you're losing those tightly packed districts are wasting the votes of the people who live there. You don't need 95% to win an election. You need 55% to win an election. 51%. So there's some geography, there's some demographics that need to be considered. There's some really good analytics to help assess this. So just having a nice, clean-looking map is not necessarily a guarantee of a fair map.
Do you think this will happen? I mean, you've been in the trenches on this issue for, I don't know, how many years, Carol?
Well, we started in 2016. I'll be honest, I had never heard of gerrymandering until 2015.
Really?
And I was in the League of Women Voters and was saying, why is it that the League of Women Voters has been advocating for a fair school funding formula since 1990, and there's been no real change. And there were other issues of concern to me, and I kept saying, why, you know, there are good bills introduced, the bills get support, nothing happens. And people would say, oh, gerrymandering, and I had never even heard the word. So I began to study, and I said, oh, gerrymandering.
Wow.
And now I realize that until we change this, those other issues that are of deep concern to Pennsylvanians are not going to be addressed, and that's why I've been so dedicated to doing this.
And I'm curious about, I mean, there is a bit of a schedule ahead because we've got some elections and things coming up when it comes to the legislative commission, redistricting commission, but also what is happening when it comes to congressional districts. What's the timeline, or is there one?
Oh, there absolutely is one. The one for the Legislative Reapportionment Commission is written in the Constitution. They're allowed 90 days from when they receive the data to having a preliminary map, and then 30 days for public review, and then 30 days to correct it. The challenge is the data was delivered to states very, very late because of the pandemic and some other issues going on with the Census Bureau. So that has put them behind. Our argument to both is, look, the technology now is much, much better than it was in 1968 when this was put in law. We can get this done much more quickly. So we know that you could draw a pretty good congressional map in a day. And I know that they've been thinking about it for quite some time.
Wow.
You can draw a really good Senate map in a day. You could draw, I have done a Senate map in a day. I have drawn House maps. It takes me a couple of days, but there are mappers who could do it much more quickly. It does not take much time to draw a good map. The thing that should take time is inviting public feedback and comment. Mm-hmm. So they can get this done. The Department of State has asked to have final maps by January 24th so that they can have information ready for candidates to begin with nominating petitions for the spring primary by the middle of February. So that's really the deadline, is January 24th. I believe that they can all do it and allow public transparency. There's no reason not to. And I think the incentives are high to get that done, because if they don't, it can trigger litigation, and then it goes to the courts. And nobody really wants the courts to be the ones drawing the map.
Even the state Supreme Court.
Right.
Carol, right. We got to leave it there. Thank you, as always, I learn so much every time you're on the show. I really appreciate you joining us and appreciate the work you're doing as well.
And can I just say, if people want more information, look at fairdistrictspa.com. You can find links to various ways to give testimony and lots more information, fairdistrictspa.com. Thank you so much for having me.
You're very welcome. Carol Cunningham, chair of Fair Districts PA. We were also joined by two state representatives, Joanna McClinton and Wendy Thomas. Go to WHYY.org and look for Radio Times under Programs. You can also download a podcast of Radio Times wherever you get your podcasts. Al Banks, the engineer for today's edition of Radio Times, the show produced by Debbie Builder and Paige Murray Bessler. I'm Marty Moss-Cohen. Thank you for joining us.